Hey guys, it's Chloe, and Jenny and I are so pumped to tell you guys about the Jesus and Emotions pre-order bundle. Right now, when you pre-order Jenny's new book, Untangle Your Emotions, we want to send you an instant download of a bunch of different things. Number one, an exclusive on-set interview that Jenny did with Jonathan Rumi, who plays Jesus in The Chosen. They talk about what it was like for Jonathan to portray Jesus, imagining what it looked like and felt when Jesus would smile or laugh with his friends while they were celebrating. Number two, an instant download of the first four chapters of Untangle Your Emotions. Up until now, there's only been one chapter available, but we want to send you four chapters from Jenny's new book for you to read immediately. And number three, we built a guide called Are Emotions Good or Bad? Discover what the Bible actually says about your feelings. It has an emotional health assessment, a five-day devotional for you to do with friends or on your own, and some conversation cards to help you process this together. So go right now to untangleyouremotions.com. You're going to drop your name, your order number from any retailer, and your email address, and we will send you this entire bundle instantly.
Hey guys, we are going to talk about how we love people well. Welcome to Made for This Podcast.
Thanks to Storyworth for supporting Made for This. Storyworth is a meaningful gift that you and your family can treasure forever, and you can get started right away. Go to storyworth.com/madeforthis to get $10 off your first purchase. And coming in as one of our most listened to episodes of all time is How to Love When It's Hard. We are praying for you, and we hope that this episode encourages you in whatever difficult relationships you may find yourself, and that you can understand the love of God and that He gives us the grace to love others when it's hard. So here's Jenny.
Romans 12:9-10 says this: Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with brotherly affection. In fact, it says this, outdo one another in showing honor. We're going to talk about love, guys. We're going to talk about outdoing one another and showing honor to others today. And I'm really excited about that because I actually don't see a lot of that right now in the world. Now, I see it in my personal life, but maybe I just don't see it out on the internet and out in the news. I definitely hear a lot more of the opposite. And yet I know, just like in my personal life where I have seen so many friends honor me and love me and support me, today even, in this day, I have had two or three people check on me because I'm editing right now and I'm neck deep and I'm alone a lot and they're worried about me and they're praying for me. And I have watched them outdo themselves and just checking on me and showing me that I am valuable to them. So I've seen that even today in my own life. And I expect that even though we don't see it in the world at large reported every day, I expect that many of you see that in your own lives as well, that you have been and your friends have been outdoing one another and loving each other and taking care of each other. However, we can get so discouraged and beat down by the darkness in the world and the hate in the world and the division in the world that we can forget that this is the most qualifying and unique feature about us as believers to the world, right? It doesn't qualify us to God. His blood covers our sin, but it qualifies our faith to the world because he says they will know you by what? They will know you by your love for one another. That's what Jesus said we will be known by, that will cause others to see our faith, how we love, and in greater form in the church. We do need to work on this. So let's talk about first, I'm going to read something out of C.S. Lewis. His book is actually a fantastic book. It's one of my favorites on relationships. It's called The Four Loves, and he talks about different types of relationships and what they're supposed to do. So it says this: to love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping intact, you must give it to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully around your hobbies and your little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. To love is to be vulnerable. And guys, this is the work of our lives, those of us that are believers. To love people is the work of our lives. People disappoint us. I disappoint them. You disappoint them. And God never disappoints us. Those three truths, that we will disappoint people, that they will disappoint us, and that God never disappoints us, is why we can love radically. If we believe those three things, that everybody sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that you have too, and that God is faithful and enduring and steadfast and will never disappoint you. Those truths held in tandem cause us great freedom, because now I can go into relationships and be disappointed by people and it not ruin everything about my day. I'm not even surprised. Guys, in the last few weeks, you cannot believe the difficulty that has surrounded our lives, specifically relationally with people, whether it's family members or friends. There have been just conversations that we've had to be in that are difficult, and I'm tired and I need to rest and I don't need to be in these hard conversations. However, they don't surprise me. And however, I'm not overly discouraged by them. I can have a really hard conversation with somebody, come home for dinner, and have a great night, because I'm not putting all my hope in these relational baskets that will disappoint me. I have perspective that my dependency is not on all of these relationships working outright. Now, as much as it is possible with me, I'm going to live at peace with all men, because that's what scripture calls me to do. But I'm not going to let it consume me when that's not possible. I'm not going to be all worked up. And I would say there are some of you right now that hear me say that and you think I'm lying, because it's so unforeseeable for you to live that way. You cannot possibly imagine saying what I just said about that freedom of being in a difficult conflict with someone and coming home and making dinner and being just fine. And I would say to you that, you know, the words that come to mind for that are from Galatians. It's, am I still trying to please men? If I were trying to please men, I would not be trying to please God. That you can't do both. So I would go to work in that. You know, I have a great book on that, Nothing to Prove. It is about the death of my people pleasing. It is about the war of fighting that idol down and leaving that at a grave, because I just could not carry it anymore. It is an exhausting thing to try to be right with everybody. But it is a really fun thing to accept that you won't be right with everybody, and you're doing the best you can with that. You're trying to confess sin. You're trying to work out conflict. You're not avoiding it. You are aware of your own sin and quick to apologize and make right. But after that, after you've done what you can to make it right and to bring resolution, yeah, it's like, well, that's just, I've done what I can and I'm here and I hope they'll want to be restored. But there is a peace that comes when you've done everything you can to live at peace with men and it's just not possible. And then what that does is it frees you to really genuinely love people. You love them anyway, even though they disappoint you, even though they hurt you, you love them anyway. Now, I'm not saying you stay in toxic, evil relationships for years and years and years. You set boundaries and we've got other episodes on that. Go back to the whole relationship series. But we can radically love because we've been radically loved by God. And because we have been offensive to God and we have sinned against God and he has loved us anyway, it causes us to live a life where people can offend us and hurt us and we can love them anyway, not out of our own strength, but out of this love that God's given us that we've trusted in and that we've experienced. Scripture says the person that's been forgiven much forgives much. And I just find that so true and hopeful, that when I'm in touch with my own sin, when I'm in touch with my own brokenness, when I'm assuming, you know what, I probably screwed that up. I was probably the one that was wrong in that. When I live that way, I'm very rarely offended by other people. I usually, it's not that I'm self, you know, completely self-deprecating all the time, but I kind of am. I'm just kind of expecting myself to let people down, and I am quick to apologize and I'm quick to let minor offenses go and assume the best about people, because I don't want to live better than people. I don't want to live with a chip on my shoulder. It's a really exhausting thing to carry a chip on your shoulder.
For months now, as my kids have gotten older, I keep telling myself, okay, this is the year I'm going to make a family memory book. That's when I started to think about Storyworth, because especially when you're spending time with your family over the holidays, chances are you will get to hear a lot of stories. And some of these are ones that you're excited to hear about. Other ones, maybe you've heard too many times. But have you ever wanted to help your loved ones document those timeless stories? Storyworth truly makes it fun and easy, so anyone can write a book about their life. Storyworth is offering $10 off your first purchase at storyworth.com/madeforthis. Every single week, Storyworth will email your friend, your loved one, a single life-related question that you pick from their collection. Some of them are deeper and more thoughtful. Some of them are just factual, like what's the farthest you've traveled? And all they have to do is reply with a story. And then after a year, Storyworth compiles all of these stories, memories, even photos into an exquisite hardcover book that makes a beautiful valued keepsake. There are so many stories, redemptive stories from both my husband and I's family that I know I want to cherish and preserve for generations. And millions of stories have already been told with Storyworth because they make the process so simple. So what a great gift for someone in your life as they go into the new year over the holidays that you could capture their stories. And this time next year, you will have a beautiful book to read through. With Storyworth, I am giving those I love most a thoughtful, personal gift from the heart and preserving their memories and stories for years to come. Get started right away with no shipping required by going to storyworth.com/madeforthis. You'll get $10 off your first purchase. That's storyworth.com/madeforthis for $10 off.
So here's a few questions that I got from you guys. In fact, it's a question, this question specifically is one we get all the time from you guys. How do we actually love people that are hard to love, a family member or a friend? And that's what I want to talk about. And what I would say is, it looks like intentionally wanting to show them God. I think about one of our friends in our small group that have a really difficult relationship with a family member. And I watch them all the time make choices to love that family member in ways that are costly and difficult. And when you ask them the motivation for that, they would say that they want that person to see God in their lives. And it is a great motivation because ultimately nobody can show God to our family members and to our friends and neighbors better than the people that live closest to them. And so, yes, that is a powerful motivating force in our lives, is that we love because we were loved, and we love because God first loved us, but we also love to show the love of God. He reconciled us to himself, Corinthians says, and so therefore we become reconcilers. We take that love to people that need it. And there's a lot of hurting people that need that love right now, that need that radical, unconditional love. So let me just give you an example of what that could look like in your life. And it's a funny example. I don't know if you'll relate to it, but it'll at least be something that you'll relate to how I felt in the midst of it. There was somebody that was gossiping about me, and I hear about it. Somebody they gossiped to told me about it, and they told me what they said. And that same time frame, they asked me to do something publicly nice for them, to endorse something or to celebrate something for them. And I was like, well, that's interesting. The timing was really close together. So I was hurt. I mean, I was hurt that they didn't respect me enough to come straight to me. I was hurt that they felt the freedom to disparage my name in a way that I felt like was unfair. And so, yeah, nothing in me wanted to celebrate that person. And yet I did it. I did it, you guys, and I said the nice things, and I put it online, and I like this person, and that this person has great things to say. You know, they sinned against me, but they're great content creator. So I did it. I put it up there, and I celebrated that person. And that person, still, if they were listening to this, they probably would not know that I heard about it. So, you know, everybody that is listening, that it could be you. You know, I don't know. We all tend to say things we shouldn't. So there's tons of grace for that. I've done it too. But I think what it did in me was it kind of freed me from that unforgiveness. It was in actively loving that person, publicly loving and praising that person. It took away some of the hate in my heart. And I would say for you, it may not be online. It might be taking them a casserole. But sometimes it's just, let's intentionally bless the people that are cursing us, because that is biblical. When you are cursed, you give blessing. And when someone hits you on the cheek, you turn the other cheek. This is the way of the Christian. It is so radical. It is so unthinkable that we would sign up for, you know, more hurt, and we would bless people that hurt us. But it is part of what shows the world God in us. It is part of what Jesus meant when he said, the world will know you by your love for each other. It's a backwards love. It's not one that makes sense. It's not one from first grade where somebody hurts you and talks about you, and then you go and hurt them right back, and they hurt you back in a bigger way, you know, and it just keeps going. We grow up and we mature, and we choose love. And it is not an easy thing to choose. And that's part of what makes it obvious that we are working from a different source, that we are working from a different worldview and paradigm. And that requires loving people without expecting anything in return. And that's really a hard way to live. And some of you are feeling like a victim because you have given and given and given and you've not gotten anything in return. And again, there are times for boundaries. There are times where relationships turn so toxic that you really do need to set up, you know, healthy ways to interact with people and to guard yourself, because we are still human and we have limitations. However, in general, the way that we love is, if it's from God, then we can give it without end and we can give it freely without expecting anything in return. Most of the love in life that we give, we don't get anything in return. If you have kids, you know this full well, that they are not regularly thanking me for raising them. They are looking at me and they're complaining about what they don't have, about what I did, about what I didn't do. And they're not very often going, thank you for, you know, nursing me and birthing me and tutoring me and carpooling me. They're not saying that. They largely don't say that, given, you know, Christmas presents, like awesome things that they love. They don't always say thank you. Any of you that are parents know how this goes. And then any of you too that have led anything, anything, you know that very few people are going to turn around and go, thank you so much for pouring your guts into that. And thank you so much for doing that work with excellence for my good. You know, you're not going to get a lot of that. In fact, I just have such a heart for pastors right now and those that serve in the church locally, because it is such a hard time to lead and it's such a thankless time. And everybody's so frustrated with you and they're so frustrated with what you're doing and what you're not doing. And nobody's saying thank you. And you're like, I'm not doing this for the money. You know, obviously, I'm not doing this for my good. I'm doing this for your good. And yet you're getting beat up every single day. So that thankless kind of love is actually regular and common in our lives. And God calls us to it because he knows that kind of love is going to, over time, cause people to see God in us, that we continue to take the hits and we continue to love when we are cursed and we continue to love when we aren't thanked. It's a hard love. I'm not saying this feels good. If anything, the reason I'm giving the sermon is because it doesn't feel good, and yet we're called to it every day of our lives as believers. Again, go back to Dr. Townsend and listen to our boundaries conversation. Go back to that entire relationship series. If this is a place where you're like, okay, Jenny, 15, 20 minutes, that wasn't enough. Well, we've done a whole season on this. So go back to it, and I hope it encourages you in your relationships. Grateful for you guys. Thankful you're part of this community. This is not easy stuff we're talking about, but it matters, and I believe we're ready to take on the world. Let's go do it.
You guys, I have a special request to make.
Okay.
You know, on your podcast app where you can leave ratings and reviews on the podcast that you listen to? Well, it is honestly like one of Jenny and I's favorite things. It's one of those ways that we get to know you just a little bit by your reviews and your ratings, and it helps other people find out about the show. So would you go today, and if you've been listening for a while and you're enjoying the show, can you go leave a rating and review? We would so appreciate it, and we're always grateful that you're here. We'll see you next time for another episode of the Made for This podcast.